We'd also like to welcome all the visitors who are visiting with us, as well as those who are joining us online. We just have one announcement from the council, and that is that our collection this afternoon is for the Canadian Reformed World Relief Association, and we pray that we will be blessed as we worship the Lord together and glorify His name. We would like to welcome Reverend Jack Vischer, Emeritus Pastor of Langley Canadian Reformed Church, to lead our worship service this afternoon.
It's a good thing I also believe in the invisible church. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're able, please rise. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, where does your help come from?
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
Receive the greeting of the Lord, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us sing together to the praise of our God as you find it on your liturgy sheet from Psalm 99, the stanzas 1 and 5. Psalmist says in Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Let's together with the Church of all times and places confess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed in Hymn 1. Let's call on the name of the Lord and ask for a blessing on this worship service. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this bright and beautiful day we again may gather together in your presence, at least some of us and some of us online. And we pray, Father, that you would be with us, that you would bless us through your word and spirit, so that in all things we may seek to know you and to praise and magnify your great and holy name. Father, we confess that you are the only God, the only creator of the heavens and the earth, that there is no one who is like you or who compares to you or who can compete with you, because you alone are supreme, you alone are sovereign, and you alone are to be the object of our praise, worship, and service every day. And to that end, Father, we pray that you would bless us, that you would work with your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, taking your word and applying it to it, so that we may walk in the ways of truth and light and life. Father, as we live our lives in this world, may we do so as open witnesses, as testimonies to your goodness and to your power. May we, Father, in the way that we speak, in the way that we act, in the way that we conduct ourselves, show ourselves to be your children, children who seek to honor you and to be holy because you are holy. And so, Lord, to that end, would you be with us? Bless us also, Lord, as we remember that this is the Thanksgiving weekend here in Canada, and we pray for your blessing. Your blessing also over our Thanksgiving this weekend. And we pray also, Father, for those who cannot be here, those who are sick in our midst, who are laid low by COVID or other health problems. Father, we pray for the restoration of health and of strength, and we pray for your preserving care. Lord, be with us. Hear us and help us. We humbly ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us open our Bibles together this afternoon. We turn to the book of Habakkuk. And for those of you who know, it's between Nahum and Zephaniah. Maybe that doesn't help so much, so we'll look at it and see what the number is in your pew Bible. So we're turning to page 935. 935 in your pew Bible. And we'll read the verses 1 to 15. Notice that the Word of God reads a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shiganios. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there revealed his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtain of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea, when you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation? You stripped the sheaths from your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own arrows the head of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to our hearts and lives. Let's sing together from Psalm 46, the stanzas 3 and 5. To you this afternoon from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. So the last four verses of this particular chapter. There the prophet says, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread in my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. Thus far. After the proclamation of the gospel, let's sing together from hymn 14, which is this part of scripture put to song, the stanzas 1, 8, 9, and 10. Beloved congregation of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, tomorrow is supposed to be Thanksgiving Day in Canada. But I'm sure that for many people today, it doesn't really, truly feel like it. Perhaps it doesn't feel like it to you either. And what am I referring to? Well, I'm referring to all of the trouble and the sadness in our lives and in our world today. For example, how many people are not struggling these days with one thing or another? Perhaps you are ill or a family member is ill. It seems that if one C word does not get you, another will. If COVID doesn't get you, cancer will, or some other awful disease. Perhaps you're lonely and have no one to relate to. Perhaps you have business trouble or financial difficulties. Perhaps there is family stuff, a marriage grown cold, children in revolt, grandchildren abandoning the faith. There are so many things in this life, you see, that threaten to drag us down. And of course, we're not alone. There are many people, others who are struggling too. For example, we have young people who would love to buy a home or a house, but they don't exactly have $500,000 lying on their table at home or more. We have people trying to rebuild their lives after having everything burned down by the wildfires. We have farmers struggling in different parts of Canada because of drought and barren fields. And then we have not even mentioned the devastation and suffering elsewhere. How would you like to live in Haiti after that latest earthquake? Or what about China, where the government is watching your every move and telling you how you should live or not live? Or what about Afghanistan, now that the Taliban are your new lords and masters? You know, beloved, the calendar may say Thanksgiving 2021, but as I said, for many of us, it doesn't feel like it. And indeed, perhaps many people identify much more with that ancient slogan, "Stop the world, I want to get off." They've had enough of this life and its struggles and its sorrows. And yet, beloved, if we take a deep breath together this afternoon, as well as a step back, we will see that what we are experiencing today is not exactly anything new. There have been times like this before in human history. We may not have experienced them, but if you read the history books, you will see. Disease, disaster, earthquake, war, they've always been there. And perhaps the only thing that's new is that so many of these things are coming at us today all at the same time, one blow after another. Obviously then, beloved, misery is never far away from us in this life. But the question before us this afternoon is, should then misery have the last word? Should misery have the final word? Should Thanksgiving 21 be canceled, put on hold? For an answer to these questions, let's turn together to a time long, long ago. It shed some light, I believe, on our modern predicament. And it also gives us some answers and some perspective. I preach to you on the theme, A Rather Strange Thanksgiving. First of all, we're going to see the fear that drains the prophet. Secondly, the joy that sustains him. And finally, the strength that maintains him. So a rather strange thanksgiving. Well, beloved, as you can see from chapter 3, our text opens, and what do we meet? But we meet a man who is in trouble. Habakkuk 3, verse 1, and here I give my own quotation, reads, "I hear and my belly trembles, my lips quiver at the voice. Rottenness penetrates into my bones, and I tremble in my place." Obviously, this is a picture of a prophet in fear and dread. And notice, it's something that extends almost to every part of his being, his voice, his hands, his head, everything, his feet. And in a way that may surprise us. After all, this man is supposed to be a prophet, and when we think of prophets, we think of those figures that are immovable, invincible, determined, resolute. Nothing seems to get under their skin. No one can weaken their resolve. We put them on a pedestal, and we think these people are a cut above everybody else. And yet, if you dig a little deeper, you see that's not true. Because they're human just like us. They have feelings just like us. They are vulnerable just like us. And notice the prophet is not putting up a brave front here. He's very open. He lets his emotions hang out for all to see. But you might ask, why? Why is the prophet Habakkuk so upset? Well, it is because of what is coming, or maybe better yet, who is coming. And if you ask who it is, well, look back at verse 3. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. You see, the prophet says God is coming. But we say to ourselves, that's good news, isn't it? God is coming? Normally, yes. But not here. Because here we learn that God is coming in judgment. He's coming to judge His people and to judge the earth. And if you ask what kind of judgment will it be, what form will it take? Well, notice it's a foreign foe. Look at the last words of verse 16. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. You see, an invader is coming. A foreign army is going to invade the promised land, and that army is going to destroy their cities and towns and villages, uproot their lives, destroy their farms, take away their wives and children into captivity. And if you ask who is going to do this, what kind of a foe? Well, the answer is to be found in chapter 1, verse 6. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. Of course, that raises the question, why is God raising up the Chaldeans? What is going on here? What has Israel done? Well, again, if you study the prophecy of this prophet, you'll notice chapter 1, the verses 2 to 4, where the prophet says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? In other words, Lord, why are you boycotting us? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. That's the Lord speaking. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. That's a theme in Habakkuk. It's a theme throughout the entire minor prophets. They all complain about this. Justice is being perverted. There is no honesty. There is no integrity. There is no compassion. Nobody cares for anyone else. This covenant nation has become a godless people. And so the picture that the prophet, along with the other minor prophets, paints is one of lawlessness and corruption. And by the way, that's not unlike what you see in Haiti today. If the stories are true, we are told the violence is everywhere, the injustice is filling the land, the wicked are in control and lining their pockets, and the poor suffer. And as for justice and law, they're nowhere to be seen. Terrible times. And the prophet, too, is living in terrible times. And God has seen and heard, and He's had enough. He's coming to set things straight. Of course, that raises the question, when exactly is God coming via the Chaldeans? During what time and what reign? Well, as far as we can determine, it's going to be during the final days of the nation of the two kingdoms, Israel, or Judah and Benjamin. Most likely it was during the reign of King Jehoiakim, with a K. You can read about all of this in 2 Kings 23, 24, 2 Chronicles 35. It pictures a very dark, desolate, bleak time in Israel. But not only that, it was also, in spite of all of that, a time of ridicule and disbelief. You know, the prophet prophesied, look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty people. Actually, it should read, that ruthless and impetuous people. So Habakkuk prophesies, the Chaldeans are coming, the Chaldeans are coming. But the people don't believe him. They figure that their greatest enemy was Egypt to the southwest and not Babylon or Babylonia to the northeast. And they accuse the prophet of false prophecy, of political ignorance, and of fear-mongering. They insist he has it all wrong. He hasn't got a clue. But you know, beloved, it wasn't so. Habakkuk has divine insight, and he knew the real story. And he knew who was coming. He knew that the Chaldeans were even then preparing to attack both Israel as well as Egypt. And he knew, too, what was going to happen as a result of that attack. He says, for example, in 2 Kings 21, I am bringing upon Jerusalem such a disaster that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish. I will forsake the remnant of my heritage. The ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. That's quite a description. What awful words, what an awful fate. You know, if there was ever a time to pull out one's hair and be down in the dumps, this was it. The prophet might take some small satisfaction in the fact that time will prove him right and the people wrong, but so what? You know, if one thinks, for example, of Afghanistan. Do you remember the predictions about Afghanistan and the Taliban? And how the Taliban could never, ever win. Never win against the might of the United States and Canada and NATO nations and you name it. Because the West, with all of its money and military might and fancy weaponry, and all of its tanks and troops would surely triumph. And personal freedoms and women's rights would be secured forever. And terrorism would be no more. And if you stood up in that kind of a climate and said, it ain't going to happen, it's not true, you would have got the kind of reaction that Habakkuk got. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, what has happened? What has happened in Afghanistan? What happens in Judah? Misery is coming. Terrible times are coming. Well, now, in light of all of that, how does the prophet react to this nasty and numbing news? I wonder, in that connection, how we react today in the face of terrible news. What has COVID, cancer, wildfires, drought done to your psyche? Maybe it's driven you to despair. I know people who say in these days, woe is me, I can't handle any more of this negative stuff. I am coming apart at the emotional seams. I'm spiraling down into anxiety, depression, and despair. I also know of people who take the route of escapism. I'm turning off my television, I'm canceling my newspaper, I'm stopping the internet, I'm cutting off all the bad news, I'm hunkering down in my bunker with a big pile of novels and a good supply of Canadian whiskey. Or do you perhaps take another approach? You know, the stiff British upper lip approach. No matter what comes my way, I can weather it. I can deal with the storm. I am all right. I can man it out. So when tough times come your way, how do you act? Which course of action do you adopt? Which attitude? You go deeper into the dumps, maybe you go in the stratosphere. Do you head for the hills? What exactly do you do? Well, look at the prophet. This prophet with an almost impronounceable name. He goes to none of these places. As a matter of fact, he goes somewhere else. Somewhere totally unexpected, surprising, and stunning. Listen to the verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree doesn't blossom, nor fruits be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flocks be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I think, beloved, those are very remarkable words. And especially those words that come after that little three-letter word, yet. Notice. It says here in our translation, the prophet says, I will rejoice in the Lord. But that's a bit of a lame translation. Literally says, I will jump for joy in the Lord. It also says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. But more literally, it says, I will spin around, I will twirl, I will dance in the God of my salvation. You see, the picture here is a picture of not just a little bit of joy, but of an exuberance of joy. An exuberance of joy in the face of terrible disaster. The prophet is saying nothing is going to dampen his cheer, his happiness, his equilibrium. He's not just going to greet the miserable times coming by adopting an attitude of firm resolve and a stiff upper lip. No, he's going to meet them with confidence, even with boldness. Barren fig trees, fruitless olive groves, derelict fields, empty barns will not do him in. He will still go on rejoicing. Now, as we reflect upon that reaction, it says a lot. It says a lot about the prophet and believers, the remnant in those days. It says something about us today as well. Our tough times filled with disease, heartache, financial stresses, driving you into the dumpster of despair. Our life setbacks, sicknesses, conflicts, bringing you low, down, and almost out. Well, the Word of God says, don't go there. You don't need to go there. There's a better, brighter way. There's a way filled with rejoicing. And that sounds good, but just how realistic is it? How can, we ask ourselves, how can the prophet write this way? And some might even wonder, what in the world is the prophet smoking or drinking or sniffing? What's going on here? Well, take a closer look at our text. Verse 18, the answer's there. For you know what Habakkuk really says? He says, I will jump for joy in the Lord, in Yahweh. And he says, I will spin around and dance in the God of my salvation. Do you hear what his joy is grounded in? What anchors it? It's rooted in God, in the God of the covenant, in the one whom we call Yahweh. You see, this is not about tapping into some hidden reservoir of inner strength. This is not about doing some form of mental or metaphysical gymnastics. No, this is about anchoring your life and your future in your covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. This is not about looking at Chaldeans, but at the Lord God Almighty. Or if you will, this is not about fixating on COVID, cancer, vaccines, sickness, or rising prices, but on Yahweh, the great I am who I am. But of course you might say, if you're a bit skeptical, why fixate on him? Why concentrate on Yahweh? Well, look at who he is and what he does. For example, verse 4 and 5 of chapter 3. Look at who he is and what he does to Egypt. His brightness, it says, was like the light. Rays flashed from his hands, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence and plague. And you remember how pestilence and plague together brought mighty Egypt, that ancient superpower, to its knees. And look at what the Lord Yahweh did to Cushan and Midian. You rode on your horses, on your chariots of salvation. And look at what he did in the promised land. The sun and the moon stood still in their place in the valley of Ayalon. And look at what he did to the nations. You marched to the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger, verse 12. And look at what he did and does for his people. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You see how the prophet concentrates on the Lord. And he's saying thereby that the antidote for troubled times is not to fixate on oneself or one's personal circumstances or the sad state of our humanity, but on the God of the covenant. You need to fixate on him and his glorious, indescribable person. You need to fixate on him and his great saving creative deeds. Fixate on him and his salvation. And what he's done, is doing, and has done for us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, the prophet is saying, look up, beloved. Look up to heaven. Look up to the throne. Look at him who is seated on the right hand. Fixate, concentrate on that. You see, the problem is we are, by nature, compared to God, little people. But if we are to move on, we little people need to think great thoughts of God. And are we doing that in these troubled times? Are you looking to him? Or into the newspapers? Or the internet? Are you looking to him every day? Do you start your day by looking to him? Do you frame all the bad news and the troubles that come into your life within the context of Him and His great power and sovereignty and might and majesty and love? That's the secret for our rejoicing. Some people say Christians are people of the book. And that's true. But even more than that, we are people of God. He occupies the center, the focal point of our life. And is the source of our every strength and help and hope. Look at the last words of our text. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Notice, what you have here is a matter of confession. Habakkuk confesses. Maybe he even shouts, God, Yahweh, is my strength. And you know, later on, Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Philippians in that fourth chapter, suddenly he says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Our hope, our confidence, our life is only in the Lord. And hence, because of who He is and what He does, you and I, we can rejoice. But not only, beloved, is there a matter of confession here in these final verses, there's also a matter, notice, by the way, if you overlook that, a matter of empowerment. For when we look to the Lord, and when we find our life and our joy in Him, He does some things for us, to us, and in us. Habakkuk says that He makes my feet like the deer's, or which means, really, He enables me to fly over obstacles. And He says He makes me tread in the high places, which means He enables me to triumph over my foes and over my fears. You see, the truth of the matter is when we look up to God, when we anchor our life in Him, He pours down gifts on us. And if you want to know what kind of gifts of strength and hope, gifts of confidence and joy, gifts of courage and boldness. That's what the prophet needed long ago. And that's also what we need today. That's what wildlife fire victims need, and COVID sufferers, and Haitian earthquake casualties, and the Lord knows, Afghani citizens as well, and so many more. It's God, beloved, and God alone who can help us through. And it's He alone who once again makes another Thanksgiving possible. Thanksgiving 2021. Because you see, the great theme of Scripture is always, not only here but elsewhere, we are more than conquerors. Remember what Paul writes at the end of that glorious chapter of Romans 8? We are more than conquerors over life and death, powers and principalities, things seen, things unseen. Everything imaginable that stands in our way, that seeks to rob us of our joy. We are more than conquerors, he says. And how? Through Jesus Christ, who loved us and who loves us still. Who took our sins and trespasses upon himself, filled us with his blessing, and gives us life and hope and the promise of glory. And so together with the prophet, let's confess. Though vine nor fig tree neither, their wanted fruit should bear. Though all the fields should wither, nor flocks nor fields be there. yet God the same abiding. His praise shall tune my voice, for while in Him confiding, I cannot but rejoice. Amen. Thanks to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we come to thank you. To thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your Spirit convicting us of the truth of that word and reminding us, Father, that even though we are living in difficult times, you are there. You are there with your love and your care and your faithfulness. And Father, in the midst of all of life's uncertainties and difficulties, even in the midst of life's sorrows and sadnesses, cause us constantly to look to you, realizing that in you we have a refuge, a fortress, a helper, a hiding place, a shepherd, everything that we need for this unpredictable life. And everything that we need for eternity as well. Father, we pray that you would be with us on this Thanksgiving weekend. Grant, Father, that in spite of negative circumstances, we may yet realize that you and your promises reign supreme over all of our situations, and therefore giving us hope and renewed effort and confidence. Be with us, Lord, therefore, this weekend and also tomorrow. And also, Father, be with those who are sick, also here in Cloverdale, those who are struggling with COVID, as well as with other things. Father, at the moment, so many people are falling victim to the Delta variant of COVID. And we pray, Lord, that the effects may not be serious or lasting, but that in due time all may come home, all may be restored, and all may be healthy again. At the same time, Father, we thank you for the medical means. We thank you for so many dedicated doctors and specialists and nurses and hospital workers. We realize, Lord, that their efforts are not always appreciated by everyone. Some people throw all kinds of insults their way until, of course, they are on the receiving end of their care. At the same time, Father, we not only thank you for the medical personnel, we also thank you for medical advances. We thank you that years ago our children could be inoculated against mumps and measles and polio, and that when we travel to China and other places, we can be inoculated against hepatitis A and B and other typhoid and various diseases. So we're also thankful for the vaccines for COVID. And we pray, Father, that we may see these things as a blessing, as a means to restore health, to protect life, also the life of the elderly and the vulnerable. Father, don't let us be misled. Don't let us be deceived. But let us continue to put our trust in you. Continue to rely upon what you give to us. And we pray, Father, that we may use it well. So, Lord, be with us and be with all your people, granting grace, mercy, recovery, and life. And, Father, be with all the causes of your church and kingdom, too. We pray for our missionaries near and far, that you bless them and protect them. And also, Father, be with the people that they minister to who don't exactly have the medical means or know-how or resources that we have. Keep them as well. Keep them safe. And so, Father, as we journey on together, may we do so looking to you and what you provide, what you give us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, what you give us through the power of your Spirit, what you give us in your mercy, grace, and love. In Jesus Christ our Lord, we humbly pray. Receive our thanks. Amen. You now have the opportunity to give your offering unto the Lord, and after the offering, let's sing together from hymn 46. the blessing of the Lord and go your way in His peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you.